Praise God. I love when things don't go in an order sometimes. It's really good. Even though they've gone a little bit like an order this morning, but not quite the same. Praise God. Hallelujah. Message this morning that I've got for you has to do with something that everybody needs to be involved in as Christians. We're studying this Silence Breakers from Nathaniel Oliveri on Wednesdays, and they've got a really good program. It's great study. I would encourage, if you want to come along on Wednesday nights, to come along. It'd be worth your while, because it's giving a lot of insight in the scripture of what the Bible tells us, what we should be doing, how we can do it, and examples to follow to see other people come to the Lord Jesus Christ, for us to be witnesses. And so this morning, I think one of the things, the reason why I've got that title, No Longer Slaves to Fear, is because I think that's one of the biggest weapons that Satan is using, especially in the Western culture, of not wanting to say something. It could even be there's door-to-door salespeople that don't like to go and do that kind of stuff because they believe they're not salespeople. And yet there are some that have taken sales courses, and by the time they get through with the sales courses, they become number one because they didn't realize what they had in them and how simple it was. And I think, with Jesus, when you look at his life, he lived just over 2,000 years ago. And he was, he came to this earth to live out. I think I'm just going to rehearse a couple of things we all know about. He came to this earth to rehearse, not to rehearse, but to fulfill his mission that God had sent him on. And wherever Jesus went, the Father's presence was with him at all times. Whatever he did, whoever he spoke to, God's presence and his kingdom power and authority was always there with him. Never changed. So Jesus, we know that he was all God. He was all man. He was God incarnate, God in flesh. He looked and acted just like you. He ate food. He had to go to the toilet. He had to change his clothes. He had to take a shower. Not showers back then, but he had to clean himself up. He sweat. His breath was foul sometimes. It was just like you and me. But on the inside, there was something that never changed. He was all God, and God's kingdom and power and authority and mission was in Christ at all times. And an earthen, remember I talked a couple weeks ago about the earthen vessel. Was it last week, whenever it was? And wrapped up in this earthen vessel. So when he walked on this earth, he walked as God, all man, but he walked as our brother. God walked with us as our brother, and it was through Jesus Christ. There was a reason why God did that. He was showing us example of all of his plan, what he so desired to do, so that we don't just look at Jesus as the only guru, in a sense, spiritual guru, that was able to do what he did. He did it to become our ultimate example. He showed us the places sometimes where you and I may look and say, I ain't going there. And things that he needed to do, I ain't doing that. And to show us that it's not my will, but Father, it's your will that's involved. He showed us how to do it. When you have an example like that, you can follow a pattern. It's not easy, but you have a pattern to follow. And that's why Jesus came, and that's what he began to set up all with his ministry. So, his life with us, whatever he did, whatever he spoke, was right from heaven, because he said the kingdom of God to us. He says, the kingdom of God is within you. Jesus came when he was born here in the flesh, God's kingdom. He brought the kingdom of God within him. That made the difference. That's why he was different. No other man born among women was ever able to do that or accomplish what Jesus did. Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. This is really interesting. The people who walked in darkness, notice they were people who walked in darkness. Doesn't say dogs, doesn't say animals, doesn't say anything else. It says the people who walked where? In darkness have seen. So we have an ability to see something in the darkness of our lives that we've never seen before. That thing, that great light that it's talked about here, to have seen a great light, that is the very same essence of when God spoke in Genesis, in the very first chapter. He says, light be. It was not the sun. And I think our brother Mark Harwood made that very clear, and I've known that for a long time. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But God spoke out, and there was light even before the sun. What was the light? God's kabod, God's presence, God's power, God's authority, creative authority and power. So when he spoke these things out, that's the great light that we're talking about here, and that's the great light that began to break into the darkness. Who's the God of this world? What is Satan's mission? To blind the eyes. We're not talking about these things here. And to block the mud flaps? No. We're talking about our spiritual, our soul. To see, we've been made like God to respond to his light, his authority, his power, his kabod, his wisdom, and to see his glory. It's not the sun. That's not the light we're talking about. And those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Everywhere you see in Scripture where Jesus went, man, it was like light bulbs were turning on. And some of the light bulbs they wanted to crack because they didn't want them to turn on, because they were beginning to see things that was sort of like messing up their plan and what they thought should be done. That was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So we have to see here that there's something that happened when Jesus came. He invaded, and I think that's a good word, he invaded. He actually infected this world with God's kingdom. God's people who were in darkness, God's people who were made in his likeness. That's why they were able to respond to Jesus. They were able to respond to the message. They were able to respond to God's love when it was shown unto them. And so we're seeing all of these things here. Jesus infected the darkness, and this is what we have to realize today. We may think that Australia, sorry, it does not work here. Witnessing does not work here. Well, sorry to say, it does work here. It's what we do with it and what we don't do with it. If Jesus came, it didn't say he just came into the world and is going to stop right there with the place where he stopped and was resurrected and went back to heaven. He sent out people filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the kingdom of God living within them, made us vessels of clay holding a treasure, that very same treasure that Jesus had within himself. And he left us example of what to do, how to do it. You see, Jesus going place after place after place, person after person, multitudes after multitudes, different cities, different townships, sometimes really long distances he would go in their day. You remember, they didn't have cars. They had donkeys, mules, camels. But I have to say that they are, people were also translated by the Spirit. So, you know, the light of the truth of God, what it says to me when I look at Jesus and I look at this verse, if Jesus invaded darkness, the darkness of this world, how many know when you get an infection, where does it start usually? Anyone want to say something here? Anyone want to give me a clue? Give everybody a clue. Where does it start? Where? The weakest point. But where does it usually, like a cold, let's say the flu? It's got to start somewhere, doesn't it? It's got to start somewhere. That's where Jesus started. He had a He had a starting point. He infected the world, and Satan knew it. And it didn't just stop at the sort of like the nose area and the mouth area. It went into the whole thing. It was going to go into the whole world. God was infecting the very creation that he created again with his glory. And how does it happen? You don't see dogs carrying on campaigns for a revival, do you? Or animals? No. I mean, God used an ass to talk one time. But he doesn't normally do that. He uses people just the way he made them. And so filled with the Holy Spirit, and it says something, Paul says something, and I've used this verse over and over and over again in past times. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 17 and 18, it says this, therefore if anyone, red and yellow, black and white, short, fat, skinny, tall, whatever you look like, wherever you come from, whatever culture you come from, hello? If anyone is in Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, he is a new creation, something that was never, ever there before in its form. God created a new, brand new creation in us. Old things have passed away. Really, it should be saying all things have passed away, but our body, soul is catching up. Because after we're born again, you and I are not Mr. and Mrs. Perfect. There are things that God does in our life to chisel through his word to cause us to become and imitate. You don't imitate somebody. If you try to imitate someone in what they're doing, what their lifestyle is, it does take a little while, doesn't it? You just can't say, well, you know, I used to copy and I used to try to sing with, I know you're going to laugh at this, but I used to always, Barry Manilow, I used to love his voice, man, inflections. Now they use Barry Manilow to chase people out of parks because they don't like his kind of music. And it's true. But I used to copy his voice. And when I first started to copy his voice, I had a tape recorder. And I would tape his song, and I would tape me singing it, and I would block my ears when I listened to it. I could not stand it. It was horrible. And I kept on practicing and practicing and practicing and practicing until I could almost get exactly the way he did it. And I went to Sydney to cut a record with a song that he made, the background, and it sounded pretty good. It takes practice to imitate. So God knows that when we first get born again, we have the Holy Spirit in us. The old things have passed away, but some of those things are in our soul, our mind, will, and emotion are still catching up because our mind has to be renewed. Part of that renewal is knowing who you are in Christ. Part of that renewal is that it's knowing that it's God who has defined who you are. Not the devil, not where you were born, not your color, not your race. One better than the other. There ain't none. Good English. But it's knowing these things and realizing that all things have become and are becoming new. One of those things that is becoming new is our finding out of all that Jesus did and what he wants us to do. When we're born again, we're not just as, you know, we're not the kinds of people that he's created to sit around, you know, first class, sipping here, sipping there, laying down in lounges where other people are going to hell and they just don't have what we have. We're so glad what God has done in our lives. How wonderful. Well, pick your nose. It's not how God created us. God created us with his mission. And he's given us permission to do it. He's given us his power and his authority to do it. And it all starts with a relationship in Jesus Christ. And I think this is one of the things that Cherry, Kylie, myself, Ken Kerwood, and if you're watching, you know, the Silence Breakers, you know, some of the stuff they've got out in the lessons, it's powerful. It's not something new. It's just being brought up to the forefront. This is what we need to be doing. And to some degree, our church has been doing that, but we're not doing it like in a full capacity. And I'm not saying that we all have to go out. We were watching Billy Graham last night, and my goodness, man, we just had tears in our eyes. My God, what a man. But he kept on saying, I've come and I'm going to fulfill my mission. And he had a lot of times he could have quit. A lot of times he could have quit, and he didn't. And how God used that man to bless nation after nation after nation, even from children all the way up. It's those who were sick, presidents, kings, queens, all different kinds of people that lived in the world, God opened up the door to him. What makes Billy Graham so special? Is he better? Was he better equipped than you and I? Was the kingdom of God within him that was at work in and through him, was it better than the kingdom of God that we've got working in and through us? No. Same kingdom, same God, same authority. What did he do with it? He did something with it. He began to see what God's mission was through Christ. He began to look at the examples. And then after knowing all that and reading it and seeing it, he allowed himself to become compelled. You know what it is to be compelled? You know what that means? You can't help yourself. Everything is sacrificed to do that very thing that God has called you to do. So what do we do now? If you're born again this morning, so what do we do now? And my challenge is this morning, and it's not just a message to make us feel cozy in our seats. Sometimes I know I don't make you feel cozy in your seat because I don't feel cozy in my seat when I preach at myself. Challenge. There's a challenge that's here. What do we have to do? So what now? We become a Christian. We're born again. What do we do now? Well, we start looking after we're born again and start to think the way Jesus thought and start to read things about what Jesus says. If you're really born again and if you mean business with Jesus, you start to look at these things and actually start to be compelled to do them, just like our dear brother Billy Graham, who's now he's back with the Lord. He's home with the Lord. What did Jesus do? He went to all the world that he was able to go through at that time. Every child, every person, every teenager, every older couple, every younger couple, and people who didn't believe, and people who had the audacity to curse him to his face and to rant at him, he went and he stood and he fulfilled God's mission because he was not afraid. The thing that I saw in Billy Graham, that we saw in Billy Graham, yeah, he had moments where he was beginning to be overwhelmed, but he always brought the Bible in. He always brought the life of Jesus in. He always remembered what God, he said, if you use me, Lord, I'll go and I'll do what you want me to do. And he stayed firm, even though he could have stopped, even though fear. He could have been overwhelmed with fear. He did not become overwhelmed with fear. He wasn't paralyzed. He kept on going. He regained his composure. And there was the Holy Spirit working in and through him. So you can see this. It's another great example, Billy Graham. There's a lot of great examples in the Bible. There's a lot of great examples of people today who are living and doing things for Christ. But do we sit back? I don't know. Sometimes I feel, I know I'm not the only one, but I feel like I'm a strange person sometimes. But then I realize that I'm only doing what God has instilled in me. You know, there was a lady a couple days ago in front of our house in the early morning. We've got a knoll that goes up like this on the grass where people do walking and things like that. And I saw this lady, and she was a witch. She got up there, and she was looking at the sun and making all these things. And she turned around at our flats and the flats in front and toward Wollongong. And she was doing all these rantings and all these different signs. And I thought, the audacity. And I was praying, as cursing everything that she's... I curse everything that you say in the name of Jesus. I bind everything that you say that's negative to human life and life, that what God wants to do in this city. She had audacity. That's what we need. Nobody stopped her from going up on the knoll. If I see her again, I'm going to approach her and talk about Jesus. And I'm going to find out really who she is. I will do that. But you see, in Christ's life, it's that weapon of fear. It says in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Absolutely opposite. Power and love and of a sound cookie. A sound mind. That's what he's given us. And so we have to believe when we see Jesus, we have to believe when we see what he did, that he also said, the things that I do are powerful, yes, but the things that I do, you also shall do, and even greater things shall you do, those that come after me. So what I have to do and what we have to do as fellow believers now, we're already linked in to the kingdom of God because he lives within us, is that we have to think and act and move to fulfill a mission that God has placed within our hearts to do exactly what Jesus did and to do even greater things, to realize that, to believe enough that even greater things shall he do, because Jesus only lived a short 33 years and the last 3.5 years of his life was ministry, public ministry. So we got... most of us here are well and truly over that age, and some are coming up to that age. So what do we do? So the devil uses fear. You know, there's something about when I see a person step out, or when I see a church as a whole step out and begin to do things like normal Christian life up in Queensland, Nathaniel Oliveri's church, and I see other people starting to step out and do things, and I see testimonies on TV, I ain't going to be that duck in the pond to just sit there because I'm content. Man, I want to flap my wings and get up there with him, man. That's what we need to do. God gave us the wings to move. He gave us the spirit to move into these areas that where other people are. And you know, it sometimes takes only one person. It only takes one person sometimes to start doing it, something. And there'll be another one. They'll actually become the breakthrough for this person and the breakthrough for the next person and the breakthrough for the next person, and keeps on going on and on. You know, you've seen photos of penguins on this on glacier ice, and they're all packed around. They're all like, whatever noise they make, and they're all looking to get in the water because they want to start getting to eat. And they're not moving, but there's a lot of them there. Sometimes it only takes one. Jump off, then all of a sudden, they all start going over. You know, in the Bible, there's the example that we've got that's a very powerful one. It's an incredible one. In 1 Samuel 17, we see David, a young teenager, filled with God, goes to bring stuff, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. His father asked him to bring supplies and see how things were going on the front lines, because there was war between the Philistines and war between the Israeli warriors. And when he got there, he sees that there's a chasm, and in the opposite ends of the chasm, on either side, there's God's people armed. And then there's the Philistines armed. The only ones, the only army that was making any sort of like a bit of headway was the Philistines, because they were sending out their hero, one man, a giant. And what was he saying? Taunting them, mocking them, cursing their God. Isn't that what people are doing today? Because they haven't heard the voice of the God coming out of our mouth and out of our being. That's exactly what the world's doing. And what are they doing? They're going out just like that lady. What she didn't realize when she was making all these, worshiping the sun, all that stuff, is that the sun was not the main thing when God created. It came on the fourth day. God's light was on the first day of creation. That is who we worship, not the sun. Our power is greater. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Am I making sense? You know, so what did David do? He looked at his army and they wanted him. He says, well, I'll fight this giant. I'll fight this uncircumcised Philistine. So they just put, you know, the armor on him. And he tried armor. It didn't work. Because inside of him, it was inside of him all the time that he was with God and realized and heard and saw what God would do through him that gave him the ability to get a slingshot and get out there. And it's incredible because you got a whole army of trained men on one side that he represented. And they've got a trained army on the other side. You see, really, it was the forces of darkness and evil on that day. Who was going to make it happen? Who was going to win the battle? So David gets his slingshot and he says, I don't need this armor. I've got my armor. My trust is in the Lord God. I'll have no one speak against my God. And it's to be a witness to the rest of the world what will happen on this day. And he ran up to the giant, odds against him, it looked like. Did he have fear? He might have had a little bit of sweat because he's human. But he had God's righteous anger burning in his heart, man. And he got that slingshot and let it rip through, and that stone went right in that man's skull and knocked him for a six. And then got his sword off of him after he ran up to him. And all of a sudden, you can see all the other guys, the Israeli army, they're starting to say, whoa, what's going on here, man? This guy's not tired of this guy. We need to go get this army. All of a sudden, they started to get courage because one man didn't have fear. And he was the one, the catalyst, who began to lead and the breakthrough for the rest of them. You see what's happening? Sometimes it's the whole church that will become a catalyst for the rest of churches to start doing something for God because they're not afraid and they're not going to stand by and just do nothing. They're going to start moving, and when they start to move, the rest of God's people will start to move with them quickly. You know, God, he didn't fill us with the whole, we're not containers of the Holy Spirit. And I'll close with this. We're not containers of the Holy Spirit so we can have a lake inside and have leisure. Isn't that kind of like greedy? Excuse you. Isn't that kind of greedy? To think, oh God, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Let your fountain flow and stay in me. C'est la vie. Such is life. And realize that every person, sometimes we're passing in one day. Sometimes it's on a delivery. Sometimes it's a job you do. Sometimes it's a place that you go. Sometimes it's at your work. If that a person comes in, and you know that God has placed that person on your heart, and there's something specific that God says, watch, this, they need me today. And instead of allowing that lake inside you to stay and overflow its banks, man, bursting. Let it burst out of you and let the flow of God just come out of you. And it's not that you got to grab the person by the neck and scare them out of you. Don't ever do that, Lynn. When you got somebody coming here working, you know, scare the tire so they run out, you know, with they got their gown half off and they're running like this. No, God's not saying, but take the advantage of the time you've got to do something for people. that is in God, that you know, that he just shows you, you need to talk to this person today. Because sometimes it's that one person that will go home to their family, and it'll be like a domino effect. The rest of the family comes to Jesus. That's what God did in my family. That's what God is doing around the world. That's what God's doing in this city. That's what God is doing with people who are willing to step out. We're going to start changing things. We need to change things. And, you know, as pastors of the church, I'm just sort of putting this on the plate now. And I'm just going to very quickly mention it. We're going to instill a plan when it comes to the pulpit here. The music, we need to worship God, man. We need to get before God and thank him and praise him. He deserves our worship. But we're going to start gearing our messages so that I'm saying this in the right way, so that we get either a little bit, we can't wait to get out of here to do something, or we are becoming uncomfortable because we have not been doing something. And what we're going to start doing is, that's just the way it's going to be. God downloaded this, and we're going to do it. We're not going to preach as long, and everybody said amen. We're not going to preach as long, but we're going to have testimony time. And so the responsibility is not just for upfront pastors preaching. We want to hear something what God is doing in your area of life. And even if it was one person, like Michael had a good testimony, and I used to go, it's getting long, a long time ago, because I got to preach. No, now I want to hear testimonies. And that was a good one, what God is doing and how God connects things up in this perfect timing. So we've got one person who took five minutes this morning? How many people do we have here this morning? If we get maybe two or three people that take maybe 5 minutes, couple of minutes, 5 minutes. If someone goes on for start to preach, that's okay too. But we're going to give the word out because Jesus also told us, feed my sheep. But you know, sometimes you can get stall-fed cattle, and if they don't go out to exercise, it's not good for their health. Do you hear what I'm saying? So what we're wanting and we're going to see God do is work through you, because the words that we're going to give you is food for you doing something. Some of this you'll already know, but we want to challenge you in your utmost faith to start doing something for God and not just Sunday to Sunday. I'm not saying everybody's doing this, but to realize your worth. Realize who is in you. Realize that the kingdom of God has invaded you, and if he's invaded you, it's time we have to invade our city, because there's darkness here, man. There's real darkness here, but I'm not going to give Satan credit. I want to see, you know, it didn't take anything but Jesus just to come in, and wherever he went, as soon as he came in as a baby. Even the prophecy about Jesus was talking about light before he got here. It's the light that is in you. It's the light that's in me. And so we just want to start, we're going to start cutting down the time for preaching, not because we don't want to spend time studying, it's because we got overflow. And we're going to pull back a little bit, and I want to challenge each of you as the weeks go on to go to your marketplaces. Don't miss any opportunities that you can see. Ask God to open your eyes to start seeing things. And it's not just for the sake of giving testimonies that we can have this hall filled up with the whoopee-doos, which is good. But to come back and let us know that, you know, somebody's life was changed. One time, Stu, you gave a testimony about a fella, didn't you, in your walk? Didn't you say something about a person that you you bumped into on your delivery or something, and it was the perfect timing, you shared, or was it you? Opportunity. Yep. Okay. Yep. The light, come on. That's it. See, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's good. That was the one, yeah. That's right.
I didn't have the courage to approach him through high school. We all parted company pretty early back then, and we all went our separate ways and stuff like that. And then one time, there was a parcel that had to be delivered to him. I didn't know it was for him at the time. I'd given that parcel to a particular person that was helping me out because I didn't have time to search that area. I, you know, collected a handful for the person that was helping me out so I could quickly do that packet. And for some reason she goes, I can't find that parcel. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I come back and the parcel's on the wall. I'm like, oh, can you just deliver it?
No, that's good because this is what we're talking about. All the stages.
And that really, really did bear on my shoulders for that while. And I thought, when I seen it, I thought, I wonder if it is him. To muster up the courage to directly apologize in some way was very difficult. But once I started, it just,
Yeah. See, that's when you hear stuff like that, I never forgot that. Some of the details, yeah, but I never forgot that. And it's stuff like that, you know, sometimes, and I know it is getting late, and I'm not preaching. He did. He was. That's why we're actually doing this, so I don't get the blame for preaching overtime. It's the people who are going on with the testimonies will get the flack. Anyway, what we want to do is to incorporate things like this, everyday circumstances, whether they're great or small. And I think one of the things that I love meetings, I know we'd like to go home and eat and this kind of stuff. We got appointments and it's our last, one of the few days we've got to actually do anything to just relax. But you know, you can relax on the Holy Spirit listening to someone and what God is doing and find your rest. Instead of getting antsy in the seat, you know, it's taking long. We got to get home. The roast, this, Dad, no break. Let's go home. Amen? And think about it. Pray about it. But begin to do something about God working in and through your life with other people in Jesus' name. Amen? Have some fellowship. And we might not do that song right now because it's a bit late. Tea and coffee. It's back there. Yes. No sugar. I better turn.